Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for the series titled When We Pray. This is part one, and so let's pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 to 22, and I'm reading from the NIV. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us now and always. So over the next few weeks, I want to focus on the subject of prayer, with the view to sharing some insights, hopefully fresh for some of us, for when we pray. Our reading is part of Paul's closing words to the church in Thessalonica, where he addressed how their attitude toward leaders should be, what their relationships among themselves should look like, and about the need to live a holy life, meaning a life dedicated to Christ. But did you notice verse 17 of our reading? Two words, pray continually, or, as other translations put it, pray without ceasing. Prayer is considered to be the central aspect of the life of God's people, yet many seem to neglect it. As we revisit this topic, my prayer is that God will inspire you and me to see it as the most amazing gift he has given his church. Also, to see it as it ought to be seen, something that we can all do without trying to measure up to some standard or idea that tries to create classes of people in our praying to God. So here is a question we may ask. If God is almighty and sovereign, and he is going to outwork his plans anyway, why pray at all? Well, we'll get to that shortly. But in the meantime, let us ask another important question that has been asked and answered so many times. What is prayer? At the most basic level, prayer is talking with God. It is a conversation, but a conversation of a different kind, because it involves the creature, us, speaking with the Creator, God. And so it is talking with God in different ways, something we'll explore sometime later. Also, it is a conversation that takes place by faith, since, from a vocal or audible point of view, it is sort of one-sided. The voice of God is not heard, but the voice of God does come to us through Scripture, via other human beings, and also as we receive certain promptings in our own spirits, promptings which need to conform with Scripture. There are at least two reasons why prayer seems to fall into the background of many of God's people. The first is that Christians are exposed quite early on in their walk to teachings on prayer that, while they are excellent, involve a high level of discipline or commitment. And this may deprive the believer of knowing God as a loving Heavenly Father. For example, Dick Eastman authored a book in 1978 titled The Hour That Changes the World. It's a wonderful book, and in it he breaks down a daily hour of prayer into 12 5-minute segments in which prayer is directed to various things, for example, to praise and worship, to praying Scripture, to intercession, then petitions, and to listening, to name a few. It calls for a rather disciplined approach, and while it can be taken as a guide, It could also undermine the kind of spontaneity that belongs to knowing God as a loving Father and we as His children. The second reason that prayer is not always a high priority for many of God's people is this. It is a sad fact that in various church circles, prayer has not been well taught, particularly in the Pentecostal and Charismatic churches, since the emphasis has been to locate prayer in the realm of the mystical, making it all about believers having some kind of position of power or a very special relationship with God, to the point that effective prayers are the domain of those in leadership or a few chosen or enlightened faithful, and this is a gross mistake. This implies that some kind of hierarchy exists where God pays more attention to some people's prayers than others. If this is the case, how then is a simple yet meaningful relationship with God through Jesus to be developed, since approaching God in prayer might seem to be an uncertain exercise, possibly leaving the average Christian feeling unsure about their relationship with the Father who actually longs to commune with us? We must therefore begin with the notion that prayer is firstly about our relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From that foundation, that close relationship, we will naturally also find ourselves praying about things, praying about people and other situations, praying without ceasing, in ways that draw us into participation with God's rule and reign in the here and now. This is God's will, for prayer, more than any other activity, comes to be understood as both a privilege and responsibility of every Christian. A privilege because God loves to commune with us, and a responsibility because God ultimately calls us to participate in His reign. With that said, and to whet our appetite, well-known theologian R.C. Sproul says the following about prayer and how we are to understand it as it develops in the lives of God's people. Prayer, he says, is not magic. God is not a celestial bellhop ready at our beck and call to satisfy our every whim. In some cases, our prayers must involve travail of the soul and agony of heart, such as Jesus himself experienced in the garden. Sometimes the immature Christian suffers bitter disappointment not because God failed to keep his promises, but because well-meaning Christians made promises for God that God himself never authorized. End of quote. Now, realizing that prayer is essential to the development of our relationship with God, as well as times where there is the travail of the soul with respect to the needs that become evident in our world, let's answer this question. If God is sovereign, meaning if He is all-powerful and will in the end accomplish His purposes, why pray at all? Won't God get His will done on earth anyway? To try to understand this a bit better, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23 to 31. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has had no rain or showers in the day of wrath, meaning as a result of God's judgment. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean, and they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves, tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the alien, denying them justice. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. In this curious passage, God states that he had searched for a human agent at the time when it was most necessary, a prophet, which was his usual means then, who would bring change to the terrible plight of Israel and be instrumental in preventing God's impending judgment. This prophet would stand in the gap between God and Israel by way of prayer, and then by faithfully conveying God's message of repentance. Sadly, no one was found, and so in the absence of an intercessor, judgment was passed, and Israel was led into a 70-year-long captivity. I want to venture that God does exercise his sovereign will, but at the same time draws us into the process so that we are part of his kingdom reign through, among other things, prayer. God calls his people to pray about various matters that are of importance to him and the furtherance of his kingdom here on earth. As we draw to a close, let's remember this one line, which is the overarching theme of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This is not a passive observational statement. It is a prayer of petition, crying for God's reign to break into the world he created, through us, his church, and also in ways he sovereignly chooses to do so. But crucial to any activity on our part is the need to understand and experience our prayer lives as first and foremost relational, meaning that when we pray, it is to worship and commune with our Heavenly Father. From that position, we then receive direction with regard to issues that call for our action and continual prayer. Prayer positions us to live with an awareness of God's abiding presence, to know that we can participate in the furtherance of God's kingdom, no matter our age. To remember also that we are not the focus of attention. The Lord Jesus is, and so is God's soon coming kingdom. And so may God help us as we draw ourselves together in prayer privately and as God's people. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Help us to believe that you hear us and that you always answer, even if it is a no. Help us to rekindle the desire for special times of prayer as we read your word and simply enjoy your presence. Help us to learn to grow in your grace and to hear you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.